And here we are on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown, WJR Radio, Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, and Nick Roddy from WJR Radio. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
Now, for those out there in podcast land, I'm going to tell you right now, we couldn't find Mike O'Hara this morning, so I did start one earlier. I was very passionate, but Michael joined in. He finally called. He finally finished doing whatever he was doing. He called. So I'm redoing this. So the passion I'm going to have for the first 5 minutes may not be as great. It will still be great, but it might not be as great as what I would have, you would have heard.
The unpublished version that no one will hear.
I may put it out for like that Jerry Springer Uncensored. I may put it out at the end of the year in the Uncensored category. But trust me, and Roddy can verify this, it was great.
Just a second. So we're going to get the wimp version. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're just not going to get the A+. You're going to get A minus. You always get an A when you come to the K&M podcast. You always get an A, but you might get a lower A.
A is better than A minus. So if we get an A minus, we're not going to.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I'll let you guys be the judge at the end. Gentlemen, lackluster win by the Lions, but they go to 10-1 on the year. Indianapolis was taken over by Lions fans. Roddy was there. We were there. And it was I thought it was a sea of blue. It wasn't as great, everybody talking about. There was a whole Lions stadium, whatever, but it was enough. And the crowds and the roads and everything in Indy was all Lions. Nick, I know you heard about it too and what you saw. And tell us what happened over there at the Motel 6 you were at.
I'll tell you, it's about St. Elmo's after the game. That was great. That was a real treat, the shrimp cocktail. It was my first time at St. Elmo's.
Did you take the famous sauce?
Yeah, of course.
Did you take it like a man?
I did.
No tears?
I don't know about that. I mean, it was delicious, though. But, I mean, it was a Lions crowd. You couldn't really tell if they were Colts fans or Lions fans because they're all kind of wearing the same color. But you definitely heard it in the stadium whenever there was a call against Indy that went the Lions' way. And the Lions fans certainly made themselves heard.
Mike O'Hara watching the game, 24-6. A pedestrian effort or an expected effort? Or what did you come out feeling about the game?
It was just sort of workmanlike. You know, I don't think it was anything spectacular, but well, there were some spectacular plays like they always are, but I just thought I'd say workmanlike. Once they got rolling, they were never in danger. They were never really threatened. And, you know, part of that was the way the Lions played, and the other part of it was that the Colts didn't have a major league quarterback. You can't win games, you can't play games with the way that young player's playing right now. Now, he's got, you know, years in front of him to get better, but right now it was easy pickings for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think you're a little harsh on him than me. I think you can win games with him. He's going to be up and down. He's going to be, you know, hit and miss. But physically, he's got the talent. He's just got to learn to be a quarterback. He only started 13 games in college, so I don't know what you expect out of him. And he was hurt last year, running the ball like he ran in the first series. You're not going to survive a quarterback in the NFL doing that. So I'm glad they stopped that pretty much after the first series. But he's just going to have to learn to play quarterback, and you're going to have to just take it. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, who has a decent team, Mike. I don't know if you thought about the rest of the team. They got good receivers. They got a real good running back. They didn't get anything Sunday, but Roddy, I think that they got a decent team. It's just he's got to develop.
They stopped him running the ball like they did in the first drive. That was their best drive of the game. So yeah. I don't know what do you want him to do.
Because he's going to get hurt.
You're trying to win.
No, you're not going to win if Flacco's playing by the second quarter.
He didn't get hurt, so why don't you keep doing it?
No, they didn't get hurt. He stopped. He was taking his. You don't look. Okay.
Are we talking about the quarterback or the running back?
The quarterback. You can't take those hits, man. And he's a big guy, you know, 245, 6, whatever. But that's not a winning philosophy. It's not a winning philosophy. Anyway, we've spent too much time on the Colts because they're gone. They were victim number 10. Lions are 10-1. Now, I look back to 1934, the last time the Lions were 10-1. Do you know what happened after those 10-1 start, Mike? I know you probably, Mr. Historian guy over there, know what happened afterward.
Well, go ahead, refresh my memory.
They lost their last three games. Who did they play?
You know what? That's right. That's when didn't Matthew Stafford break his thumb or something like that?
No, yeah, right. No, this is 1934, Mike. So,
you should have told me that. What a year that was. Wine was good.
So anyway, we went back to 34.
Everything was good. And 34, everything was good.
This is the best thing about it. They only played 14 games. They were 10-1. They played Green Bay on Thanksgiving. Well, they played them after that. I don't know if it was Thanksgiving. I'm assuming it was. They lost to Green Bay by 3 points. Then the way the schedule went, they played the Chicago Bears twice in a row, 2 weeks in a row. And they lost each game by 3 points. So they went from 10-1 to 10-4. And their loss, and the margin of loss was 9 points for the total three games. That's amazing.
Are you sure that they played 14 games? Because back then they were playing a 12-game schedule.
It was 14 because they were 10-1 and they played three more. The funny part about it is, too, the games were played at Roddy. This is too young for you. Wait, matter of fact, Roddy, you're from that neighborhood. The games were played at UAD Stadium. And the crowds were 11,000 for both of the games. One game was on the road. There was like 11,000 people
that's
for
pretty
each
good.
Game. Well, that was an NFL game back then. So that's how far back we're talking about when the Lions had a team like this year.
You know, I went to one game in that stadium. I forget exactly who it was, but it was different. It was Friday night too. It was just a different feel.
Actually, a slight correction. They started 10-0 that season and then lost their last three. They started 10-0. They played 13
okay,
games.
Okay, that's what it was. They played 13. Okay, my mistake. But I know they lost their last three and two to Chicago, one to Green Bay, right?
Yep.
Was the Green Bay game Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so there you go.
No, the first Chicago game was.
The first Chicago game. Okay, so the season.
The Green Bay game was 3-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They lost the last three games by 3 points each game. 3 points each game. So,
but they weren't all 3-0, were they?
No. I'm just saying they lost by 3 points each game. But look, that's what the Lions have to worry about now because, look, Philadelphia is nipping at their heels, gentlemen. Minnesota, I still say, is going to fall off. I don't know if you guys believe it or not. I watched Minnesota, Chicago. They could have lost Chicago this last weekend.
Yeah.
Could have lost. I'm not a big Sam Darnold will revert, trust me on that. But right now, Philly is the team you got to stay ahead of, and you're one game up on them. So you got to play each game as a separate game and just go one at a time. And you want to get that home field record. You want to get the best record in the conference.
Absolutely. You want the bye too. You want the bye week to start up.
Yeah, especially now with these injuries mounting up bye week. Now, as I said before, and I'm saying again, there's some problems on this team. Number one, for a 10-1 team, I know everything is sunshine out there, but we were not doing that on the K&M podcast. I'm sorry. We must tell the truth.
Ain't no sunshine anymore? Okay, go ahead.
There's some offensive line problems to me. If Decker's not playing and you put Skipper in a game, there's problems. That's a problem. Why Corby Sorsdale has not beat Skipper out for that swing tackle yet, that's a problem. You got a problem with Carter being hurt. And who was his successor Sunday? The cornerback.
Carlton Davis.
Carter. Who's Carter? Carlton Davis. Who was the successor? Kendall? May I repeat for the...
He was Terry Arnold's successor.
Well, he became the number one cornerback after...
I mean, he played every snap.
Yeah, he played every snap. And why Mike O'Hara is Amik Robertson only playing, I'm looking at this here, 18 snaps. 13, wait a minute, was he got 18 snaps. And Kendall Vildor is playing 55. That's a problem to me. That is a problem to me. And I know you're going to say because he's a slot.
Correct.
Move him outside.
He has a role on that team, and if you move him out of that role, then you got to move somebody else in.
I have no problem with
part
that.
Of it.
Because what I saw from Kendall I expect Aaron Glenn to take a look at this week. Aaron Glenn is not a stupid man. So he will fix something up. If it means that Mosby is going to come in and play more now, he played only special teams this last weekend, but yesterday in a press conference, Dan Campbell said he's ready for a role.
So he hasn't
now.
Played in how long, Mosley? Like
a year or something. But he played this Sunday.
He didn't play last year, really.
He played four plays.
Okay, It's been like almost 2 years
now.
Yeah,
but he was in training camp.
So now you're going to take him into a spot that and replace the guy who played every snap.
Well, they brought him in slowly. He played some snaps this week.
He played special teams,
which got him out on the field.
Okay.
Dan Campbell said yesterday he's ready to play him. He said it in the press conference. He's ready to play him. What are you going to do? Save him? What are you saving him for?
Not saving him, but...
Put him out there.
All right.
We saw what Vildor can do out there. Put him out there.
Yeah, we saw what Vildor can do. They didn't score a touchdown.
Because of a bad quarterback, and he overthrew three in
the
second half.
You're playing another bad quarterback on Thanksgiving Day.
You're playing a better quarterback than Richardson right now, though, the way he's playing. Mike, would you just throw Mosley out there?
Would I just throw him out there? I'm not sure exactly what you mean by throw him out there, but I'd give him some. If he's shown in practice, you know, that he can handle it, I would. Yeah, I'd give him some. You know, live snaps out there at cornerback or wherever they want to put them in the defense.
Now, what do you guys think about the skipper comment I had? Am I overstating his poor play?
He played 15 snaps. You're complaining about two guys who make up like a third of the snaps.
That's because Glasgow. I mean, that's because Taylor Decker played this time. But I'm talking about if Taylor Decker's not playing. He's got to play.
So what are you going to do? I mean, I know last time Taylor Decker missed a game, you wanted Sewell moved to the left side.
Yeah.
It's clear that they didn't do that.
Well, they asked Campbell this morning about that on his interview during the week, and he said that yesterday, which was the practice on Monday, he had Sewell on the right side. But they got time, if they have to be without Decker this week, that Sewell can move over. He said the only reason they didn't do it last time because he had practiced all week there, and Decker didn't become inactive until that Saturday. But I think if this time it happens – they'll definitely move Sewell over for Thursday if Decker's not playing.
And put Skipper at right tackle? Or
yeah, well, I'd rather put a right tackle. At least Goff can see what's coming to him than by your blind side. You want that blind side protected. And since Glasgow's not playing all that great either, according to PFF grades and Ken Brown's eyesight, I'm really worried about that line right now.
Are you reading the grades or are you watching the game?
The grades and my eyesight.
Okay.
The grades and my eyesight. The running game is getting nothing on the left side in the last few games. Right, they're going over Sewell's side.
Of course, why not? That's the best. He's the best tackle in the league.
I understand, but you got to. Decker's good. Decker graded high. Decker's good when he's in there. I'm not worried about that. We're talking about if Decker's not there. Go ahead, Mike.
They've been going through Sewell's side since he got here. Come on.
They used to run the left side when Jonah Jackson was over there and Decker. Yeah. They would run to that side. Don't try to make up history just because we see some failings going on. Let's just address it.
Some failings on this 10-1 team that hasn't given up a touchdown.
I understand that. And
second half point in three games.
I may be nitpicking because they are 10-1. But look, if you ignore a few little signs, then they become big issues. And I'm just putting them out there.
And no other team in contention has any issues like this.
I don't care about the other team. I only care about the 10-1 Lions becoming 11-1. I don't care anything else about the other team. All I know is we got Chicago this week, good defensive player. They have on that team. They got a real good cornerback. They got a Sweat that came over from Washington, good pass rusher. And it's going to be a tough game. So let's get ready for it. Mike?
I'm right here.
Rumor has it again. As Daniel Jones was released, who was the first one to say maybe the Lions should pick him up?
The first one? I don't know.
I was.
Probably not you.
No, it was me. And the podcast.
The first?
Go back to
Kenny,
the first.
Wait a second.
The
Every
first.
Time somebody, no, hold on. I want the listeners out there to understand this. Every time somebody is released, you're the first one to say, should we bring him in?
I just, like okay. I said.
Should they bring him in?
Dan Orlovsky on the NFL Network Sunday said the Lions should pick him up and it'd be perfect.
Oh, then let's do it.
No, but this is my point. Put him on the practice squad, and if another team wants to offer him something, he can leave at any time, but just put him there and have him there in case something bad happens. It's not going to hurt. And plus, he needs a rest to sit down. You're not paying him anything. He's already got his money. I see no downside to it.
He has to be released so he can go to another team and get some. You think he's going to want to sit and in other words, have the Lions tell him, "Look, we don't want you to do anything. Just sit and do nothing."
Yeah.
You think that's why he's?
I mean,
do you think that's why he's coming here? Why he?
Mike, he's
here
not coming
show?
Here. He's not going to a bad team. He already said he's not going to a bad team. He already eliminated the Raiders. They want him. He said no. He wants to go to a contender.
Yeah, he probably wants to go to a contender where he would possibly play. Though you don't want to be the third string.
He might not be by playoff time, but let me ask you this question. If Ben Johnson leaves at the end of this year and he comes in and just sits right now and then they leave, if Ben Johnson needs a quarterback and he likes what he sees out of these last 6 weeks, you don't think he'll take Ben or take him with him? Of course. He's smart. He knows it. And that's what Orlovsky said on NFL Live the other day. He said he gets behind Ben Johnson, and if Ben Johnson gets a job, maybe he'll take him with him. So there are good things to happen if he just comes and sits. And like I said, I think he needs a break. And it's not costing you anything. Plus, I would rather have an experienced quarterback if I had to miss golf for a series, a half a game or whatever. Even though
Hendon Hooker's ready, according to you.
He hasn't the experience. To me, I'm guessing like you're guessing. I think he's ready. But you know Jones is taking snaps. He's won playoff games. So, look, it's not a big issue. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But just think about it, gentlemen.
All right, so far we've talked about the third tackle, the fourth corner, and our third-string quarterback.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Guess who was cut yesterday by the Carolina Panthers? That is on waivers today.
Let me guess, you want to pick him up.
I do. You know who it is?
Nope.
You know who it is, Mike?
No, but I can't wait to find out.
Charles Harris.
Ugh.
Charles Harris has 3 sacks this year. How many does James Houston have? Charles Harris has 3 sacks this year. Let me repeat that again for the back of the crowd. Harris has 3 sacks.
Okay, and you're comparing him to James Houston, who played 4 snaps on Sunday.
I'm just saying, bring this guy in. He's been in the system. He may not be the greatest player in the world, but he can rush the passer at times. You got guys on the team that I've never even heard of before, you know, playing. You're bringing these guys up every week. Who's this one guy I was looking at the other day that didn't play? Bo Camp or whatever his name was. You got guys there that he can replace. I have no problem with bringing him in. And he's a great locker room guy. We've all talked to him before.
Ken.
Go ahead.
I don't remember any of this love for when he was here.
No, he didn't play good as last year. He had 1 good year here, and he signed a contract and didn't have another one afterward. And then he had
right.
But we're just talking about somebody who might give you a play down the stretch, or you can get in and pass rush. He's been in the system. You know him. You know him as a character player. And he's free. He's out there. Mike, we got free agents and guys off the practice squad we're playing now. We can't be beggars. Cannot be choosy.
Well, what's Chris going to be? He's a guy off the street now, too, just like them.
With 3 sacks. With 3 sacks. All right.
That's non-transferable.
That's true. But just keep an eye on that, because I just got a feeling you might see something happen with that. That's just me talking. All right. Mike O'Hare, Chicago Bears, short week,
yes.
Injured players. Give me your prognostication on this.
Well, I think it's going to be a tough – I've thought right from the beginning of the season it was going to be a tough game, and some things happened, you know, early in the season with the Bears that, you know, they really weren't a threat for anybody at all. But I think they are now. I think they're playing better ball. I think the quarterback's coming around a little bit. He's not by any means – you know, the finished project, but I think the Bears are going to be a tough game for the Lions. I think the Lions are going to win, but I think this is going to be one of those, wouldn't call it a white knuckle flight, but it's going to be pay attention from start to finish, because anything can happen.
Nick Roddy.
I mean, it's going to be tough, especially if you're down 1 or 2 corners. I mean, I assume Terry Arnold will be back. I don't know if Carlton Davis will be ready. Their receivers are good. Like Mike said, Caleb Williams is a better version of Anthony Richardson. He's playing a little more consistent than Anthony Richardson has been. So it's a tougher task in the quarterback spot. DeAndre Swift has been pretty good. I mean, it was quite the comeback against Minnesota. You got to give him credit for that, the onside kick and taking it to overtime. But I'm a little nervous for this game.
I'm nervous for this game because this is a Jared Goff special coming up. Any team that can pressure the quarterback, he doesn't play his great game. Sometimes he plays a good game. Sometimes he plays an average game. But I've seen pressure get to him. Pressure was getting to him at Indy last week, and I don't think he played great. But, you know, we can't say nothing against the great Jared Goff because the fans chant his name. But I'm looking at the play, and I see when he gets pressured, he's not the same guy. And Chicago, that's one thing they do well. And both games last year, Jared Goff did not play well. Do we go back that far and remember, fellas? The one game at home, remember, they had to win on the last series of the game. They were down. The game was over. I remember I was out at the mall. The game was over. And then they got beat down in Chicago. You know why? Because that defense does something with Jared Goff. So I want to see Jared Goff come out against a team that's putting some heat on him and play his game. That's what I'm waiting for. When I see that, then I know he has graduated to the next step.
Graduated?
Graduated. Because that's the only question marks I got left on Jared now.
Tell me when you run out, would you please?
Look, you can call it as you want. I see it as I see it. I see it as I see it.
You can say that about any quarterback, though. They're not going to be as good when they're pressured.
No, they're not going to be as good, but they're not just going to just acquiesce to mediocrity, which I saw a lot when the heat is on them. You know, I'm dumping this, getting this thing out of my hand fast as possible. I'm not going to be the one to be a Jared Goff hater. I'm just saying, Chicago Bears, that defense has done something to him the last year that I saw. He didn't have good games either game.
Well, you can say the same thing about the Lions defense. They didn't have really great success stopping the Bears offense. It's kind of like the Seattle offense. They've kind of had Detroit's number.
Right.
But I mean, they got to come back from a double-digit deficit with two minutes left last year.
But the thing about the Chicago Bears, why the Lions defense had a problem, Justin Fields ran for 100 yards, I think, both games. At least the first game, I remember for sure he ran for damn near over 100 yards. So that was the problem before. It was Justin Fields running more than his throwing. Now you don't have that anymore. Caleb Williams can move, and he can jiggle around the pocket, but he's not a runner like Justin Fields. I'm not worried about that part. I just want to see him play good, solid D and win the game. I think they will win, but it's not – what's a 10-point spread now? 10.5? That's crazy for a game.
Oh, it's great. I mean, the Lions are so good against the spread that Vegas is just jacking the Lions up because they don't want to lose more money in the Lions. Their numbers against the spread the last 2 years are insane. So the Lions are going to be inflated.
So, all right, Mikey, what do you see?
I'm trying to get through this, this wave of negatoriness. I like the Lions to win this game. I think it's going to be a tough game. You know, this you can win a game, you know, 21-0, 27-0, something like that, and still have been through a tough fight. And I think that's what it's going to be with the Lions. I like them in this game, 20-10, Detroit Lions.
Just 20.
20-10. Yeah.
All right, Roddy.
Well, they're coming off a 23-point game last week. So what's the big deal?
Home.
I'm still a dome.
Saying, yeah.
Oh, they were in a dome last week. Still,
they're still home.
Okay.
Just home. Go
ahead. Let's say 28-24.
Two tight games. Okay. Like I said, the Lions at home without an injury to their quarterback scores over 30 every game. So I'm giving them 30. I want to say 32. 32. That's going to be high. That's going to be weird. 32-21.
So you got him covering.
32-21. Can we have a minute for Jake Bates' appreciation again? Mr. Naysayer, Michael Hare, when I brought up bringing him in over the
How long are you going to talk about this?
I'm going to talk about it until he misses a field goal, which evidently at this point, I may be talking about him every week because the man is bad. Can we get that going?
Yeah, feel free. Yeah.
He is kicking the ball. Give him his matter of fact, now he's moving it a little away from the goalpost, which I like. He's getting it away. He's getting it back toward the middle. But I feel confident in him kicking a 50-yard plus as I did when we had a lot of these names.
Matt Prater.
Matt Prater.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I feel just as confident now with him as Prater at the end. Because Prater at the end was kind of shaky too. You agree with that, Michael?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do. Right. I can't believe that. I can't believe that I agree with you, but yes, I do.
Okay. Who does punt returns this week? Because what's the name's not playing? He's not playing.
You need some name help today.
I know,
Khalif
man.
Raymond.
Khalif Raymond's not. But you can help me with the names today, man. I'm all confused. Khalif Raymond's not playing. So who is the who does punts this week?
I'm on Rye, I think.
No, he's not doing it. I'm putting my foot down on that.
You will storm the field personally prevent him from returning punts.
I will run the field with a streaker and have the security go for the streaker, and I go for the sideline and stop that. So that's not happening. Who do you think they're going to – I think they're going to –
Think they put Vaki back there?
No, I think they're going to raise up for the game DPJ. and just have him do kick. And then that gives you an extra receiver, too. So I think that DPJ will be the punt returner for this week.
That would surprise me, but
well, it's a free raise up. You know, one of those.
Yeah, but you still got to make him active, though. So
no, you got one of those call ups. Those two call ups you get.
Yeah, but you're still taking a spot on the active game day.
No, you're not. Those are two freebies.
Yeah, but they don't automatically go out to the active.
Yes, they do.
No, the people who dress.
Yeah, they do. Those two don't count on that. Those two go up.
You need to have people who are not active still.
No, no, but you're saying the two call ups from the practice squad go to the automatic roster. They don't count in the 53.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the 53. I'm talking about the 40s.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah, he's taking.
Then you're taking a backup lineman. You're taking another corner.
No, you're taking away the punt returner. You're taking his spot. Mm. It's a one for one. You're taking his spot.
All right.
So you think that's fair?
We're having an argument over the 46th man.
No, we're having an argument over the punt returner, which may be crucial. You know, peace in a close game that you two think is going to be. So I feel bad for him, though, man. He gets hurt. He got hurt last year and missed the playoffs. And now he's hurt again on it looked like an innocent play, too. It looked like he just, what do we got here?
How about a little love for Tim Patrick? All right. We were talking about the fourth tackle and the fifth corner and the kicker. And Tim Patrick had a game against Indy. So a little love for Tim Patrick.
He did. Matter of fact, he's so good. And he really hasn't been targeted yet. I think it's going to be a game in these next six games where he's going to be like the leading receiver because it looks to me like he's open a lot and he's such a big target. And I think that one of these games soon, when they're doubling everybody else around and J-Mo's, you know, celebrating with the fans and can't get on the field on time and they need a player on the field. You know, when J-Mo's running around the streets with guns or whatever, he was freed. He's not being charged, ladies and gentlemen. So the streets of Detroit are safe again for all to go up and down. All right, Tim Patrick, thank you. That's a good pull for Roddy, Tim Patrick. Let's give a defensive line a big hand, too. McNeil, even though his PFF grade wasn't great, McNeil was balling Sunday. I mean, that was one of the best games I've seen a Lee McNeil play.
Yeah, I mean, there was nowhere to run in the middle of that defense. Jonathan Taylor was nowhere to be found. So, yeah, that defensive line, especially the interior, played great.
What a player he was, though, when he came out as a rookie, second year and third year. He was really a great, great, great runner.
All right.
It hasn't quite been the same lately.
Who are you talking about?
Taylor.
Oh, he had a Liz break or something. Is that what slowed him
something,
down a year before? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still, look, Lions' defense against the run has been good. Matter of fact, next Thursday is when you're going to find out how good they really are because that Josh Jacobs Detroit game, that's going to be a game because Josh, he ran a little bit on us in Green Bay. It was muddy or whatever, but he still ran a little bit. If they shut him down, then you know that defense is ready to go. So I'm excited about that. But that's a week off. We're talking about this week. All right, gentlemen, that's it. I know everybody's going to be mad at me today, but Kim Brown must tell the truth. I must see things and say things because I see little fires before they become forest fires. I see little kindling going, and I want to make sure that we get in there and stuff it out. All right?
I just want the people out there to know. I don't really know this guy.
Okay? All right, that's the Canadian podcast for this week. We'll come back again since it's a crazy week because they play this Thursday and then they play next Thursday. So we'll be back next Monday with the report on the Chicago and then going into Green Bay. And after that, they get like a mini bye, which is good. So if they can just make it to the end of that Green Bay game, then they have like 10 days off, and they can replenish themselves. Maybe Rakishaw, those guys will be back by the end. And I'm still waiting for Melifonu to make his appearance this year because he's a damn good player. But can we get him on the field?
Yeah, I don't know.
Please.
It's not looking good.
Well, I think he had a different injury this second one.
Yeah, but it didn't sound good based on what Dan Campbell said.
Well, if we can get him back by playoff time because, Mike, him, Anzalone, just think of this. The Lions have lost five defensive starters and still playing good defense. Isn't that amazing?
That's depth and that's coaching. That's a combination.
That's right. Next man up. All right, gentlemen, that's the Cannon Podcast for this week. Join us next week. Thank you.